Mr. Ryan.
Maybe I'll pass on that.
Okay.
I'll make one. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mr. Jackson?
I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know a lot of the ramifications of what I'm proposing here. What I'm talking about more is fairness, and it seems like we have the resources to take people to court, and they have to defend themselves if they want to. It seems unfair that we can do that and when we make a mistake and not have it all made fair again. Our actions, which were not correct, led to Mr. Nelson incurring an expense. And the settlement was one of those things where the lawyers probably, from what I understood, 50% is customary. Okay, finally, we'll back off and do that. In the big concept of what I would consider fair, I guess we're not being fair, but if, like you say, this is going to open a can of worms and get us in some more trouble, I guess I would withdraw it. But I thought I should at least try to get that.
So you're withdrawing your motion?
I will, yeah.
So we vote on it?
No. The group can agree.
That's what I mean. Is there any objection in the group to withdrawing this motion? Mr. Gregg.
Well, it really hasn't been spelled out what the repercussions of doing this good faith move on our part really is. I mean, Brad alluded to it, but we don't know for sure. And it seems like it's not something that's interfering with the decision of the court, but it's something that we're doing as an act of good faith towards our citizenry. For a mistake that we made. And so I don't really see that it's a horrible concept somehow.
Mr. Ryan.
So I alluded to it because I don't know what the repercussions are at this point. I know that the lawyers were very careful for me to bring it back to the assembly last meeting and get you to move on the fact that the settlement was acceptable, which I then went back after the assembly meeting and directed them to do that. So I don't know what the repercussions are, and that's why I'm alluding to that. You know, it's well into the process of them arranging the settlement with Mr. Nelson. But the other thing I think is important to remember, there was a break of borough code. I understand that the fine was determined to be unfounded or whatever it was, but there was still a break of borough code in this. So I think that's important to keep at the front of this issue.
Two things. Is the motion withdrawn, or are we still debating it to vote on?
It's not withdrawn because you didn't agree to it.
Well, then I have another point, if I may. I believe the repercussions are is that we have another ongoing case where a borough citizen is asking for reimbursement of attorney fees in the Helleski case. And the repercussion there is setting a precedent. And Mr. Campbell, we've discussed this, just because that case was, I don't consider that case ruled in our favor. That case was ruled moot because the time period for the permit expired before the judge made a decision. So I don't accept the argument in that case, the Platcha case, that we won or that they won. However, we are going after attorney fees in that case. And I do not like messing with attorney fees in one case and not another, and not just going through a process which is legal. I'm not an attorney either. I'm just a paralegal, so I'm not trying to say that I know better than anybody else. But I do not feel comfortable messing with the legalities of A, a decision, B, a settlement that has already been hatched out, C, when there's another ongoing case about whether we're going to recoup attorney fees from a citizen. So that's my final point.
Mr. Case.
It was said that the borough code was violated. That's not in question. I don't think anybody argues with that. It was just the way it was applied. I'd be very much against passing this this motion, whether it's withdrawn or whatever, but I think we should vote it down and just let it go. And I call for the question.
Question's been called. Those in favor of the motion to, would you read the motion, please?
Sure, to reimburse Mr. Nelson the remaining 50% of court costs that were not part of the settlement. Okay.
Those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed, say no.
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 The motion fails with one in favor. Ms. Lapham.
Madam Mayor, I apologize. I need a 5-minute recess.
We will take a 5-minute recess.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, coffee. Yeah, get the point.
All market salt.
I didn't want you to get overwhelmed.
Nice to know.
We're here talking.
Oh.
Good morning. That's general. We'll call this meeting back to order. We are at item 11A3. This is resolution 1604667. Mr. Campbell asked that this be pulled from the consent agenda. This is a resolution of the Haynesboro Assembly approving, in response to an application from Tokchinook Watershed Council, as recommended by the borough assessor, a community purpose property tax exemption for the Sawmill Creek property at the corner of 6th and Dalton. This resolution is recommended by the assessor, and the suggested motion is to adopt resolution 1604667. Mr. Campbell. You asked?
Yes, ma'am. I had to find my mute button there. I'm really shaking my head. I'm trying to figure out why.
George, can I get a motion on the floor first? I apologize. Then we can discuss it. Ms. Lapham?
Madam Mayor, I move to adopt resolution 16-04-667.
Second.
Okay, George, you have the floor. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. I am trying to figure out why we believe this piece of property is that should be tax exempt. It just the stuff I've read here, everything that is being done on that piece of property through the school and stuff, they can go across the highway onto the trail that the CIA put in along Sawmill Creek back in there. They can do all their science stuff there. To me, this just seems silly, honestly. I don't understand. There's no buildings on it. It's not serving a true purpose for our community as far as a gathering place, like the parade field, at least, is a gathering place people use. I'm sorry, I don't get it. So I'm asking for somebody to give me a better reason to give this tax-exempt status.
Or, yeah, we do. We're going to allow public comments. Okay, George, the process for this, since it got pulled, is now we're going to allow public comments, which is standard for resolutions, and maybe we will get some more information from there. Any member of the public wish to speak to this resolution? Mr. Hughes.
Yes, my name's Norman Hughes, and for 10 years, I was the president of Tokchinook Watershed Council. I'm a founding board member and still serve on the board of directors as a treasurer at this time. I signed the papers on the brown parcel. The reason the Tokchinook Watershed Council owns it is because I took the leap of faith when our executive director at the time said, yeah, we can make this happen. We can buy this. We can do education. And if we paid on it for 8 years until we actually owned it, and but before we owned it, we approached the owner of the parcel, Mrs. Brown from Skagway, about restoring the stream. It was pretty trashed, literally, and we did a bunch of work on it, and then later on we decided that well, maybe we could preserve this and utilize it and use it for education and public enjoyment. And so we went and we bought it. And we paid it off, and we've had tax-exempt status on it for quite a while. The new protocol for tax-exempt status requires us to come back, I believe it's annually, and give justification for it to the Borough Assembly and to the staff at the, Haynesboro. And now you asked to speak about it, so I'm speaking. It's all my fault that we got this property. The Haynesboro was nice enough to move the school closer to our property. This is a long-term plan for us to be able to implement plans in the past that we called No Child Left Inside, where we actually got kids out of the classroom within walking distance of the school and do some environmental studies on the property, whether it's catching fish in the streams. Granted, some of the fish are very, very tiny, but they're able to identify them. And actually, a few tree houses, there's probably bear habitat too, but which Mr. Studdy doesn't like. But anyway, we've been using the property for over 12 years now, 14 years, and I believe. And we'd like to continue with the tax-exempt status because we believe it fits the criteria for tax-exempt status, community use. Right now, kids cross it to get to school every day, and there's no restrictions on the property. The borough stores snow in their right-of-way there, and we work with them to mitigate silt moving into the stream. We work very hard at replacing the gravels in the stream for cutthroat trout and things. And I'm getting a little wordy here, but I think it's a value to the community and the kids to have a place in town to go play and stuff. Granted, there is a great piece of property across the street, but 12 years ago when we started this project, the access there was not as good. So thank you very much.
Would anyone else like to speak to this resolution?
Sally Anderson, I'm on the board of the Watershed Council. I don't know the status of the CIA property. The status of this parcel, though, is that it has deed restrictions on it, saying that it will never be developed. So it is a permanent spot where kids could go for field trips. I'm not sure about CIA, so I guess that's the only thing that I would have to add, aside from what I already said about it being good for open space and being sort of a forward-thinking decision for the community.
Anyone else in the public wish to comment? Okay, assembly members. Ms. Lappin.
Madam Mayor, by Mr. Hughes's explanation, this piece of property has been tax exempt for 12 years. Am I right on that? And also, because there's an Andromeda stream on there, and after this lady has just spoken that there are restrictions on it, I don't see what good it is, only the benefit to the children, not only during the school time, but they've got summer programs that they're able to use that piece of property for. So it's not a derelict piece of property. It's actually a very, it's a learning program. I am going to vote for its tax exemption.
I have Mike and then Brad.
I'm going to withdraw.
Okay. Brad.
I feel like I should add a little bit of history to this property. You know, it was a stream restoration parcel a number of years ago. There was a considerable amount of money put into a fish passage culvert upstream of the property so Coho could pass it, I believe it was state money. I won't say that for sure. There's a CIAP grant that helped purchase this property that actually came through the borough. There's a current grant from DEC to make it a snow removal site for the borough and treat the water before it goes into Sawmill Creek. And it continues to be used. I mean, there's a lot of money and investment in this piece of property that continues to be used for community education. There's an interpretive sign there now that talks about rain gardens, I believe. Read the interpretive sign, but I will. Did I get that wrong, Sally? There's an interpretive sign there that teaches us something. I guess I should read it. And it gets used a lot. I've hosted educational programs with the tribe out there on macro inversion. So I've been involved in it a lot. So there it is.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion?
Madam Mayor?
Go ahead, Mr. Campbell.
So as I'm listening to what people say, so if my property that my house is on, if I put an interpretive sign to explain about that we shoot firearms on it, we've got a history of shooting firearms on it, and we're teaching kids about shooting firearms, does that mean I should get tax-exempt status also? One of the things I'm wanting people to think about is that if we cannot tax-exempt every single piece of property in our borough, because every time we do, we put the burden of that property on other folks and other businesses. At what point do we have enough places to take kids to teach them education? We've got it. There's enough between parkland, borough land, state land, fish habitat, and all that we've got going of lands. I don't understand why we are looking to give more tax-exempt property in a scenario where we really need to figure out how to get revenue, not give more free taxes away. And great, there's been a bunch of money put into that. That tells me a bunch of money has been spent and people have paid money. But that doesn't make it any more positive for the borough, or doesn't make it any better than any other piece of property that's not been developed in that. As far as deed restrictions, that's not a borough deed restriction. That's between the owners and someone else. So, you know, it's like me buying a piece of property and having a deed restriction with the former owners. That really doesn't play into it. So, truthfully, I ask the assembly, there's other pieces of land that do everything that piece of land does. Why should we give an exemption?
Mr. Case.
I'm not sure if Mr. Campbell understands. This property has had an exemption for at least 5 years, probably more like 7 or 8. It's not a new exemption. It's a continuing exemption. So if we voted against it, it would be taking it away.
Ms. Friedenauer?
I know Mr. Campbell was gone last meeting, right? And we had a pretty lengthy discussion about community tax exemption at that meeting. So I'm sorry you missed that. I know it was inevitable. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying we did have pretty lengthy discussion about these tax exemptions last meeting. But it is, the fact of the matter is they fit the criteria, like, plain and simple. I could argue the theoretic, like, of course they should get the community property tax exemption for the reasons that we've all talked about, but the big reason is that they fit the criteria. As the assessor has laid out in his report, they meet every single one for the reasons he states. And, I mean, I am confused why you would consider taking this one off the consent agenda and not the Anway property. If what you're arguing seems confusing when the Anway property was just passed by the consent agenda to get the community property tax exemption. But if you want to keep it simple, they fit the criteria under state law and borough code for getting a community use property tax exemption, and that's, I mean, period.
Ms. Lapham?
Madam Mayor, when the community purpose exemption was revised, there were many of us sitting in this room for many, many meetings. And to me, that was an incredible process of everyone working together to come up with the document that we have now. Because of that community purpose exemption, all of the past existing exempt nonprofits had to reapply under the new criteria, and thusly, that's why they're put on consent agendas, because they have been existing tax-exempt nonprofits in the past. And I totally, although I've had people tell me from the audience as well as on the assembly, I am very much aware of our financial climate and the burden that it places on the other tax-paying people. But as Ms. Friedenauer pointed out, it meets the criteria of the community purpose exemption.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Madam Mayor, I do have a question.
Mr. Campbell.
If a property meets all the criteria in the code, are we obligated to give them an exemption, or are we allowed to give them an exemption?
It's brought to the assembly.
It comes before the assembly, and the assembly decides, George.
Thank you.
Okay. Madam Clerk, would you do a roll call, please?
To adopt resolution 1604-667. Assemblymember Gregg.
Yes.
Lapham.
Yes.
Jackson.
Yes.
Friedenauer.
Yes.
Campbell.
No.
And Case.
Yes.
Carried 5-1.
Thank you. We are down to 11C, other new business. Board appointments. Appointment applications have been received for seats on the Library Advisory Board. The mayor plans to make the appointments and seeks assembly confirmation. The suggested motion is to confirm the mayor's appointment of Megan Elliott and Jenty Fowler to the Library Advisory Board for terms ending November 30th, 2016. Mr. Case.
I move that the mayor appoint Megan Elliott and Jenty Fowler to the Library Advisory Board for term ending at 11 to the November 2016.
Second.
20? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Second.
I'm sorry. I thought I
second.
Okay.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion to confirm Megan Elliott and Jenty Fowler to the Library Advisory Board, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item 2, the Harbor 95% design. The Interim Borough Manager, Harbor Master, and Port and Harbor Advisory Committee request assembly approval of the 95% Portage Cove Harbor design. On September 10th, 2015, the Planning Commission conducted a public hearing and reviewed the 95% design. The Commission determined the project design meets the goals of the comprehensive plan and is consistent with the current planning and zoning requirements. More information is available as part of the agenda bill in the meeting packet. The suggested motion is to approve the 95% Portage Cove Harbor design.
Margaret?
Ms. Friedenauer.
I move to approve the 95% Portage Cove Harbor design.
Second.
Okay. Under discussion on the motion.
Question.
Question's been called. Those
No. Madam Mayor, I do have some questions.
Mr. Campbell.
In the packet, it still has the anodes for corrosion protection as an additive alternate. That has the park remaining on the drive, that has the park remaining in the existing place. And I did not see anything that the Harbor Committee has even sketched out a rough idea of how they plan on doing the completion and raising funds for the completion of the park. So for me to approve this 95%, these are three great big huge stickers with our community that I really would like to see answered. So, if we've got answers tonight, great. Otherwise, I would prefer to put this off till next meeting so we can get some of these answers and show support of it.
Do you care to address things?
The anodes are an ad alternate. I mean, I don't think that we're really wanting to put those in now. We don't know what the bids are going to come in as. And we started to budget for those in the six-year CIP, once this is in. We don't see this, obviously, as a single-year project, and hopefully maybe it'll come in low and the anodes will be in, but we won't know until the project goes out to bid. As for the park, that is something that we're still discussing on how that might look. That could be part of the design that we're talking about with the trail and moving Lookout Park. I don't see that as a major change. There'll be changes as this goes along, small, minor changes, but it's not a major change to the harbor project itself. Is that it? I don't recall it. Was there another question?
The plan for the completion.
As I've stated before, I think this is a phased project, and I think knowing what that's going to cost is going to depend on our revenue sources. I think, in my mind, the next phase, assuming this gets the go-ahead, will be to sign the cooperative agreement with Fish and Game for the support ramp and continue to look at funds in the future for the completion of the project. I don't know that we want to, as been suggested by Mr. Gregg, bond for the whole thing. Instead, I'd rather phase it out, especially since this isn't going to be a single-year project.
Mr. Case.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out that what we're approving here is the design, not the schedule or the cost or the alternatives, but just the designs.
Good point, Mr. Case. Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Mr. Jackson.
Thank you. I struggled with this plan for a little while, and I think I've finally come to terms with it where I can vote for it. But my biggest concern is the design does not include taking care of the parking lot. It does not include the park and beautifying the whole area. And I personally want to make that a real high priority. And when we get into the budgeting, I'm going to be advocating for significant improvements or focus on that so we can get some quick resolution to making it look good again. So,
any other discussion on the motion? Mr. Gregg.
Well, I just have to say that I'm not happy about the design, and that's been my problem with it all along. I realize that I'm just one voice that's not necessarily the same voice as most of the people in the community, but the long metal breakwater that's going to look brown and ugly at low tide and destroy the natural look of our waterfront, and then self-destructing in 50 years and needing constant expensive upkeep and replacement, I'm not happy about that. And I'm not happy about turning our natural waterfront into a huge 3-acre parking lot. Whereas more parking is needed, but does it have to be that huge? It's hard for me to grasp that. And I'm sad that Lookout Park has to come down. It seems like kind of a waste of our efforts, but whatever. I'm not happy about the way that objections were dealt with along the way, and it pushed aside without consideration. And I don't think that the expenses are going to stop in the foreseeable future, and so I think we're going to be looking at a lot of cost along the way that we may not even be seeing at this point. And I don't understand why we didn't have a cost-benefit analysis for this project when all the other borough-related projects require one. I'm hoping that all my fears will be unfounded and we'll have a wonderful harbor.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Madam Mayor?
Mr. Campbell.
I got to say I disagree with Mr. Case. We might be voting on the design, but we're also voting with confidence that this project can continue without having major problems. And as I pointed out, there were three issues that I brought up that have been large bones of contention for our community, and large discussions have happened, specifically Deanos. And I got to give the credit to Mr. Ryan. He's the first manager, I don't know how many years, that's actually put anodes in, in his budget to have installed in the boat harbor, which should have been done years and years ago. But I'm concerned that the next time we go to budget cycle, if it happens in 5 years, we've got this big steel breakwater. But, what we really need is another new loader or a new pickup for our public works guys to drive. So we don't have the money to put anodes in this year. And I see that and just walk around our buildings, and that's been the trend of all governments. And so that's a very important part, to have it in the base bid. And I keep hearing, well, we may not have the money for that. Well, at some point, we have over-designed the project for what we can afford. If we can't afford the basic protection for what we're doing, we need to rethink what we're doing. Moving the park, that has been something that's been discussed and discussed. It doesn't take that long. It wouldn't have been that hard to insert this into the 95% plans, because everybody's been talking about it. Why hasn't somebody just simply written it down? And that's the same thing with the completion. I keep hearing that there's different grants, different ideas to fund it. Why hasn't the Harvard group sat down for half an hour in one of their meetings, brainstormed 10 ideas on ways to fund the rest of the project, written down a rough timeline of what they thought, and included that? The fact is that we seem to be reaching for this one completion without ever putting any thought to anything our community has said, and that's my problem with this 95% right now. It's not very much work to actually address the concerns of the community, but nobody seems to want to do that. And for that reason alone, I would like to either wait until they get addressed, but I can't support this as it sits because of those reasons.
Any other discussion on the motion? Hearing none, the motion before us is to approve the 95% Portage Cove Harbor design. Yes. Would you do a roll call, please?
Sure. To approve the 95% harbor design, Assemblymember Lapham.
Yes.
Jackson.
Yes.
Friednauer.
Yes.
Campbell.
Regretfully no.
Case.
Yes.
And Greg.
Regretfully no.
Okay. Carrie, 4-2.
Thank you. We're down to the tax incentive phase-in proposal draft. Since 2014, the Commerce Committee has been working on a possible tax incentive program. Committee Chair Assemblymember Campbell requested this agenda item. His suggested motion is for 3 public hearings, allowing 2 for tweaks, final attorney review, 3rd and final public hearing for passage. Per Haynesboro Code 3.70.020, an ordinance will be required to amend Haynesboro Code 3.70.040. The manager recommends the Assembly instead refer this to the Finance Committee for further review and development of the necessary ordinance. What is the wish of the Assembly? Mr. Case.
I move that we refer this ordinance to the Finance Committee for whatever the manager thinks we should do with it.
Second.
Under discussion on the motion to send this tax incentive proposal draft to the Finance Committee. Ms. Friednauer.
Madam Mayor.
Ms. Friednauer has the floor.
I guess he's the committee chair.
Okay. She has deferred to you, Mr. Campbell.
All right, thank you. This work has largely been done by the community through the Chamber of Commerce, and I believe that Chamber Representative Deborah Schnabel might even be in the meeting, and she could probably give you an idea of what the Chamber went through in their doing the drafts. Part of the reason I brought this before the Assembly, there are some large questions as far as areas and such that really are up to the body to make decisions on as far as what we want to do, and that's part of the reason to bring it forward, and a big reason I asked for 3 meetings. One of the situations we have to deal with is we got to consider that there was a promise made to the Haynes Brewery about giving them a tax incentive, and to meet that deadline, we really do need to consider getting this in the system, and that's why I wanted to bring this in as an introduction, introduce the ordinance, and then if it's finance or whatever committees, other committees want to review it, that'd be great. If they came back with a complete rewrite, that's fine. But that was my reasoning, was if we could get it introduced and start the public hearing process, we can actually move forward with this. If the Assembly wants to throw this completely out, you know, that's up to them. But I want to remind everybody that there was some discussion with the borough with a brewery at the time of their property purchase. And so that's one of the reasons one of the drivers to try and get this introduced sooner than later.
Ms. Friednauer.
Just to follow up on that, the impetus for this was because of the brewery. When they were buying the downtown property, the previous managers floated the idea of a property tax exemption. And then the assembly followed that up with, well, why would we just do this for one? Why don't we develop a policy, which then they could be included in? Come to find out just recently, the borough attorney, whether he's correct or not, would have had major problems with that. He said that the previous manager had no authority to try to suggest that he could use that in a contract. A property tax exemption for one single business would probably go against state law. Not only that, if a policy was developed now, there's questions as to whether the brewery could actually be included in it under state law. And if they could, it would probably only include what they haven't already paid previous taxes on. So that leaves the whole thing in limbo. And I talked with Deborah earlier this week, too, and I think it needs to go to committee again and finance committee, because there could be some more discussion as to who's really married to this policy. I mean, is the chamber really married to the policy? There's a suggestion there that they aren't. They were helpful in trying to solve this issue of this commitment to the brewery. Has the assembly expressed a lot of interest in whether we're married to this? I don't know that I'm even married to it, and I worked on it. So it could go to committee for more discussion and review and see what you think of the whole idea. I do have a solution for the commitment that was shown to the brewery in a follow-up motion, but we should vote on this first and then I can make that motion. But to let you know that my concern was with the brewery and the comments and the commitments made to a business in our town, and I think I have a way to deal with that specifically without rushing this policy through when there may not be enough information or even desire to actually have a policy like this.
Mr. Case.
The motion is to refer it to the Finance Committee, mm-hmm. and if that motion passes, then it's in the hands of the Finance Committee. And the reason I bring that up is I don't know if another motion is appropriate at that point. Is it? Since it's already gone, it's not in the hands of the Assembly per se, it's in the hands of the Finance Committee. So maybe we should...
Could I informally tell you what my motion is?
Tell... And anything. I'm just talking about the formality of the, or the technicality of it, rather.
Could I kind of explain that? So the motion I would follow this up with doesn't have to do with the policy. It has to do with, because of the willingness that the Assembly showed 2 years ago, actually, in them, to offer some sort of incentive to the Haynes Brewing Company, we could direct the manager to work with the owners to come up with a feasible tax incentive or alternative prior to July 1st, which is the tax season, or the tax deadline, right? They either have to be part of a policy that we get passed by July 1st, and then there's questions as to how they could even be involved in that policy, or they don't get an incentive that we talked about. So,
Mr. Case.
So in that case, would you prefer that this does not go to the Finance Committee? I don't care. I mean, I care, but I have a strong position. If it goes to the Finance Committee, they're going to be taking things up. Do you want them to take up what you just suggested? Or do you want that taken up separately?
Who should answer?
I'm sorry. Madam Mayor, I'm sorry for...
I can answer.
Directly,
if you can.
I meant through
okay.
the chair.
I think they're two separate things. I think the Finance Committee could look at this policy and see if they want to move forward with it or recommend going forward with it. After we vote on this, I'm going to make a motion that to deal with the commitment we've made the brewery, that they deal with the manager, and the manager comes up with an alternative incentive that he can legally offer them. He has some ideas, and there are ways that we could fulfill our commitment that we may have talked about, even though we can't legally do it the way we thought we could at first. So I see them as two different things. The policy go to Finance. See if we want to continue with the policy or not. But separate of that, I feel like we have to address the brewery.
Okay, I got you. And okay. I'm very much in favor of doing it that way. I just wanted to be sure that we were following the right procedure.
So I'm a little confused. Are we referring it to the Finance Committee and discussing Margaret's idea during that committee? Is that the plan?
She wants to make a motion... on her idea as soon as we vote on this motion to refer this to finance. Because they are two separate things, she feels. So. Any other discussion on the motion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion to refer the tax incentive phase-in proposal draft to the Finance Committee, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed?
Yes.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Ms. Friedenauer.
In recognition of the Assembly's July 29, 2014 motion that shows a willingness to offer some type of property tax incentive to Haynes Brewing Company, I move to direct the manager to work with the owners to come up with a feasible tax incentive option or alternative prior to July 1st, 2016.
Second.
Discussion on the motion. Gila, did you have a question?
I'm just wondering borough money is essentially property tax money. I don't know how the borough can give money to a private company and not have it be a refund of property tax. I'm not sure if that's possible, unless you guys know that it's possible.
Go ahead, Margaret.
The discussion never should have come up in the first discussion of the contract, but there may be a way to work with the brewery to fulfill the commitment that there may not be. I don't know, but I think the manager is the best person to vet that out right now, because it's obviously not working in committee. And if the manager has other ideas, the attorney had some ideas, it wouldn't be giving them money, but it might be giving, I don't know. It's I know what you're saying though. Okay.
Did you have a comment?
I feel like I'm out of order, but I don't feel like it's 100% clear to me that the Assembly made a commitment to offer a tax incentive to that company. I think there was a discussion of a desire to work on it. But so I don't know if this motion is creating a commitment that didn't previously exist.
I don't think this Assembly made any commitment to do this, to do that. All I know is that there was a discussion with the manager and the company. So. Ms. Lapham?
The Assembly had directed the manager to do out a draft, and I don't believe, I'm lost, Julie, was that ever completed? Or was it just in the negotiating phase?
I know that Mr. Sosa was in the process of working through that between meeting with the owners of the brewery and the Commerce Committee and the Chamber, various people. I wasn't involved in it. I just know that there was a process that was just longer than anyone anticipated.
But the point being that the Assembly had directed the manager to compile this draft of something.
Ms. Friedenauer?
I have the motion, because you put it in the packet. Thank you. I'll preface it by saying that the attorney doesn't believe we're under any legal obligation to work with the brewery to fulfill this commitment that was discussed. So there is that, but hang on. Sorry.
Shut up might be a better thing.
Mr. Campbell, Ms. Friedenauer has the floor.
The motion was, there were two motions, to direct the manager to court, it's a very long motion, to create the creation of a formal program to incentivize development, blah, blah, blah. The second motion after that was to direct the manager to draft an MOU between the Haynesboro and Haynes Brewing Company that acknowledges qualification and pre-approval of Haynes Brewing Company for participation in a borough-initiated program to incentivize development and or improvement of real property in the downtown area identified by the program. That motion carried. Legally, if that had actually happened, it may not have been legal to actually implement that. And we're under no legal obligation to do anything.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Madam Mayor?
Mr. Campbell?
Too often tonight I've heard the Assembly talk about whether or not we're under legal obligation. I'd like to remind everybody that what we really should be concerned with is what is right and wrong. And I believe that the Assembly, through its actions and through the manager, made a promise to the brewery, and we need to figure out some way to live up to that promise.
Any other discussion on the motion? Mr. Gregg?
It seems to me that it's more about public perception than anything, that you know, if we do something with one particular business and not have it be part of a generalized program, that it looks kind of strange. And I'm not wanting to be against breweries' efforts and really I'd like to support small businesses and Haines more, but I think that what the Finance Committee is tasked to do is to research and develop this kind of a concept of the downtown enhancement tax incentive program. So to make it go right now into the hands of the manager in direct negotiation with one particular business seems counterproductive to that effort.
Madam Mayor, I see that since I was on the Assembly that had directed our former manager to take this action, I see this as a long, loose end that needs to be taken care of as quickly as we can take care of it. As soon as our manager, we often do that, Mr. Gregg, we often direct the manager to take care of issues like this. This is part of the manager form of government. I believe this is the most expeditious way to do it. There are some ideas. As far as the tax incentive, that's a whole different topic now. We're not on that. That's already been moved to finance. We're talking about directing the manager to take up some ideas with the brewery. And it's long overdue. We need to close that gap and move on.
Madam Mayor, I support the manager coming up with some real creative ideas on how to address this and make it right, as Mr. Campbell said. It is a potential slippery slope, and I look forward to some creative ideas here. So.
Any other discussion?
call the question.
Would you read the motion again, someone? Either of you have it.
Okay. In recognition of the Assembly's July 29th, 2014 motion that shows a willingness to offer some type of property tax incentive to Haines Brewing Company, the motion is to direct the manager to work with the owners to come up with a feasible tax incentive option or alternative prior to July 1, 2016.
Those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying yes.
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 Those opposed to the motion, say no. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item 12, correspondence and requests. We have the letter from the Pacific Salmon Treaty Coalition and a letter from Parks and Recreation. Anyone have any comments or questions? Ms. Friedenauer.
On the Parks and Rec recommendation, do we refer that to planning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I would suggest.
Okay.
Would you like me to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Can I say that?
You can say that.
I don't know, can you?
Mr. Gregg.
Well, I noticed that Burl Sheldon is in the audience, and he's on the committee, and I just wondered if he could give us a, since he's been here all evening, maybe he could give us an overview of what it is that they have in mind.
If he can do that in 3 minutes.
I think the letter
was fairly clear. You know, it pretty much outlined what we're asking. There's been a lot of change in the area between Main and Third, between the library and expansion and demolition and sales of property. And it seems like in the last couple of years that as the breweries developed, that remaining property has a park-like environment, and the borough's been managing it as such. We don't have a parks ordinance or a parks zone. We do have a recreational use zone, rather than, and I think that that's a question that Parks and Rec could address separately, that we can, perhaps should develop a park zone. I mean, you've got a great example out of Carr's Cove. There's a piece of property that was is identified as a park property, park-like environment, that's there adjacent to what was the Carr's Cove subdivision. I believe it was purchased by the Women's Club. And yet it's in the general use zone. So if the borough got a crazy idea, they could conceivably sell it, I suppose. Or they could sell Lot 8A to a buyer, and we could have a new business conceivably on that corner. At this point, in seeing what we have remaining, that property, Parks and Rec really feels that this is an ideal spot for what is being asked for as a future downtown core development idea, which is a destination open space and gathering area in a town square-like setting, which is one of the goals in the comprehensive plan. I think that is an excellent piece of property for that kind of use. And in talking to people generally, I think that people are liking what they see there. And there's been a few plans that have circulated around, but we're really not wanting it. We're intentionally avoiding talking about specific park-like developments or landscaping or installations of this, that, and the other thing. I think that's too early, and I think that would best be done in an open, facilitated public scoping kind of process that could be conducted through the Planning Commission or which Parks and Rec could do on its own. But we're not proposing structures. We're not proposing ideas other than this piece of property that is zoned commercial, is owned by the borough, be retained and rezoned for recreational use, which is the best zone that we have right now.
Thank you. Okay, so we will refer this to the Planning Commission for their review and suggestions. I would like to ask the Assembly if you would like the Pacific Salmon Treaty Coalition letter is asking for support. On the back page of that, they showed some communities and organizations that have submitted resolutions of support. Would you like me to do a letter of support, or would you like us to bring a resolution back at the next meeting for support or for consideration?
What's the wish
of the Assembly? Mm-hmm. Mr. Case?
I think you should issue a letter of support.
Actually, I was going to make a motion if it required for a letter of support. I don't. Does it require that, Julie?
I don't think
no,
so.
I totally agree.
Just order her to do it.
Order me to do that. Hearing no objections to that, I will draft a letter of support for the Pacific Salmon Treaty Coalition. Okay, we are down to set meeting dates. And so that I don't forget, we need to set a date for the Board of Equalization training. And the suggested choices are April 20th or 21st from 6 to 7 p.m.
Minor Offenses has a meeting scheduled
for 21st. 21st, yeah.
Well, then I guess we're looking at the 20th.
The 20th of April?
20th of April.
Madam Mayor, can we do that later? Can we do it on the 23rd meeting?
23rd is Passover Saturday. The only dates that the trainers have available are the 20th or the 21st.
Okay.
6 to 7 p.m.?
Yes.
If you wanted to finance, Diana, we could do that earlier.
I was going to just say finance to take up the budget amendments. It looks like the 20th is gone, so is everybody available for the 21st of April?
Minor offenses.
Minor offenses is on the 21st. But the 20th is still open.
Oh, the 20th. Okay, 20th. Yep. Are we all available?
Is the 20th when the BOE training is going to be 6 to 7?
That's what we're trying to decide.
I thought we moved to finance committee.
No, we're still at BOE.
No, I'm sorry.
Could we do finance earlier in the day, like 4 o'clock or something?
Well, wait. The BOE, I'm confused.
What, Board of Equalization training, we need 1 hour.
That's fine. I want to stay on that. I don't want to get finance brought into this. I want to...
From 6 to 7.
From 6 to 7 on the...
On the 20th.
On the 20th.
Unless we have a finance committee.
Let me get one thing done
here. Okay, the Board
of
Equalization training will be on the 20th from 6 to 7 p.m. Moving right along. Any other meetings need to be scheduled?
Madam Mayor, I would like to schedule a finance for the 20th of April at 4 p.m., if possible, for my committee.
Yep.
Okay. For budget amendments.
Okay. Any other meetings need to be set? Ms. Lapham.
Madam Mayor, just to remind the assembly that the tax incentive as well as the sales tax will be dealt with by finance after the budgeting process is over with. We won't take up any of those topics until then.
Okay. Any other meetings need to be set? Hearing none. Public comments. Any member of the public wish to speak at this time? Seeing none, announce. Oh, Mr. Nelson.
Thank you. I'd like to thank you all for your time and effort, and I'd just like to provide a little history, if I may. The last time the Public Safety Committee, or maybe not the last time, but when I was involved with Public Safety, met the Assembly, gave the Public Safety Committee a list of 6 applicants. And ask the Public Safety Committee to shortlist the top 3 that the Public Safety Committee would pick out of those 6. And Gary Lowe was one of the 6, but he was not one of the 3 on the shortlist. So the Public Safety Committee did not recommend Gary Lowe. And as we all know, Gary Lowe was hired, and we know what happened there. So I'm just urging you to please pay very close attention what the Public Safety Committee has to say about your next chief of police. Thank you very much.
Anyone else wish to speak? Okay. Assembly announcements and comments?
Madam Mayor?
Mr. Campbell.
Yeah, I wish to thank our manager for all the efforts he's putting in. I know it can't be easy. He's got some really good stuff in the budget, some other things that will come out. But I think I'm really glad to see him taking on some of the deferred maintenance issues. We need more of that. But one of the things that's coming to mind right now, before our interim manager leaves, he's been here long enough. Our clerk has not had a formal evaluation as the contract says she would for multiple years now. And I feel strongly that because her contract states that the manager will do that job, I think it is important before he steps down to do a formal evaluation on the clerk so that we have that in the file.
Okay. Any other assembly comments? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn? Ms. Lapham.
Madam Mayor, I move to adjourn.
We are adjourned. See you on the... When's our next meeting?
Next week is four.
Monday.
Four out of
Thank
the 5
you.
Days our meetings. Over and over.